Hello, my name is Adrian Goldberg and welcome to the Byline Times podcast. The Byline Times, it's what the papers don't say, what radio doesn't report and what telly doesn't tell you. This time, record sewage spills in England's rivers and seas. 3.6 million hours of waste were dumped in 2023 compared to 1.75 million hours the year before. Sewage works are sometimes overloaded during heavy downpours, meaning waste flows out untreated. But these occasions should be kept to a minimum. So this all begs questions, I suppose, about the regulation of our privatised water companies who paid out £1.4 billion to shareholders last year, but who are now seeking an additional £10 billion from customers to deal with sewage. I'm going to speak to Charles Watson. Charles is the founder of the charity River Action. We've also got John Bosco Nwogbo from the anti-privatisation campaign group We Own It. First, Charles. So, Charles, talk me through these figures. What exactly are they telling us?
Well, what they're telling us is that our sewage system has effectively failed. I mean, what country in the world can be releasing this volume of untreated human effluent into nature? That is effectively what's happening. And the reason our sewage system has failed is, you know, we will see an extraordinary blame game being played out. The regulators are blaming the water companies. The water companies are blaming Ofwat. Ofwat is blaming everybody else. But the reality is this is a basic fundamental service which the public expects to be able to dispose of its effluent in a safe way. But this basic public service over the last 30 years since it was privatised has effectively been not run to produce a facility to ordinary people like you and I. It has been run to produce profits to be distributed back to shareholders who've effectively asset stripped the industry. So, for example, if we take out the biggest water company in this country, which is also the biggest sewage company in Europe, Thames Water. Thames Water was literally taken into private equity ownership. It had huge levels of debt put upon it. That debt was then stripped out by its international investors as special dividends. And we are now facing unprecedented stresses from climate and more extreme weather events, and not to mention the fact that London has grown by 30% in population during this period of time. The system is coming under these huge stresses and it should be subject to extra investment to make it more resilient. All the money's been taken away, and that is what's happened. We have a failed system, and what bears witness to that is the vast quantity of basically human poo floating down the rivers. It's a disgrace and a scandal.
As we're recording this, we're a few days away from the Oxford-Cambridge race, and you've been doing your own research into the stretch of the River Thames where the boat race will be taking place.
Well, that's right. We've been doing E. coli testing, which is the worst of all things that comes out of the sewage work. So E. coli, as I'm sure you're aware, is a pathogen. It's what makes you incredibly ill if you were to ingest it. Now, our testing, which has been going on now for the last month in the stretch of water in which the boat race will take place, it's off the scale. So in partnership with British Rowing, we've had to make an announcement issuing a whole set of safety guidelines. So when these athletes finish, instead of doing what they used to do, which was they would, you know, jump into the river and have a big celebration, they're going to have to be basically clinically washed down for their own safety. And since we made the announcement, we have literally had hundreds of messages from people. Most of them are just families, schools who row on the river, of children who have repeatedly got ill because of what's going on. It's not safe. I mean, it is. We literally have a human health crisis, as well as the fact that our infrastructure is broken.
And just tell me through this, Charles. As I understand it, because there is a recognition that sewage treatment works may well become overcapacity during very heavy downfalls, water companies are permitted on occasions to spill sewage, raw sewage, into our rivers. And the theory is that the rainfall accompanying it, because they use the same pipes, will dilute that raw sewage. But that there are claims as well, evidenced claims, that water companies have sometimes been discharging raw pollution on days when they shouldn't be.
Exactly. So the law says that they can only open the storm overflow gate in exceptional circumstances. That is the words used in the law, and exceptional circumstances are defined by extreme weather events. But as you have just said, there is now unequivocal evidence that there are hundreds and thousands of dry spills taking place, i.e. sewage released into nature, into rivers and into the sea and onto beaches, when there's not a cloud in the sky. And that is primarily, which comes from another huge issue, is the infrastructure that exists is just so underinvested and so antiquated, and pipes break, pipes literally collapse, which means that the water companies now have no option but to, you know, divert into the nearest river. So the whole system is in crisis, and the results are here to be seen in these appalling figures that have been announced today.
And just so I understand this then, do the figures incorporate both the regulated, permitted waste dumping and the unregulated?
They do. They do, yes. Yeah. Yes, this is the lot. This is the lot, yeah.
John Bosco, what do you make of it from a We Own It perspective?
Oh, it's obviously something that we've been talking about for many years, and our polling demonstrates that it's not just a worry that a small segment of the population on social media has. It's, as Charles has just been talking about, it's a worry that people across the country, families who go out to swim, people who row in the rivers, it's essentially a kitchen table conversation. And I think that it's going to be a litmus test for the parties at the next general election. It's an incredibly important issue. And it's not a regulation problem, right? You're going to hear a lot of people try and boil it down to a failure of regulation. And I think that a really important point for people to take out is that this is not a failure of regulation. We've had regulation for the last 30 years of privatization. I don't know why anyone would imagine that after 30 years, regulation is going to suddenly start working. It's a fundamental failure of privatization. And I'm going to try and illustrate why that is the case just with a few figures for you. Over the period of privatization, £72 billion have been taken out in the form of profits from our water companies. Those companies have also been loaded up with around £60 billion of debt. Now, between 2015 and 2023, water companies have been fined a total of around £150 million. So essentially, they've made profits of £2 billion a year on average and fined £150 million over a period of 8 years. Scotland kept their water in public ownership throughout this period. And if England had invested at the same rate as Scotland did over this period, the private water companies would have invested about £28 billion more into the water system than they actually ended up investing. So in essence, if they invested in infrastructure, they would have had to invest on average £1 billion a year. But it's so much cheaper and much more profitable for them to write off the fines, really, and dump sewage into our rivers and seas. And just another way to illustrate this fact, water company bosses are among the best paid bosses in the country. On average, they earn £1,700,000 a year. And that's not because they're not doing a good job. That is precisely because, according to the metrics that matter to the private equity companies that own our water system, incredibly quite unique in the world, on the metrics that matter to them, these guys or these ladies who run our water companies are doing a stellar job. Unfortunately, that means our rivers and seas and families across this country have to carry the cost of that.
So you're suggesting really that the companies see the fines that are levied on them by Ofwat as a price of doing business, and a price that is well worth paying for them because it allows them to continue polluting and continuing to make huge profits.
I mean, I would imagine that people at home listening to this right now, then it's fairly transparent to people. I don't want to say that if I were in the position, I'd probably do the same if my goal was profit, but it's obvious. It's quite obvious, right? And there is a reason why we are unique in the world in doing this way. No other country allows their water companies to serve essentially as a piggy bank for international private equity and their rivers and seas to serve essentially as a toilet. What's happened with our water companies is essentially the government connecting up our toilets with our rivers, which is what has happened in essence.
Yeah, we shouldn't romanticize what's going on in Scotland, should we? Albeit that is publicly owned. There has been research published recently showing that there were an additional 5,000 sewage spills during 2022 than had previously been reported. So 19,000 incidents in total, 50 a day. So if you speak to campaigners in Scotland, they won't tell you that the rivers in Scotland are flowing pure and clean.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think anybody should be under the illusion that Scotland or even Wales that recently decided to take their water into a quasi form of public ownership, putting it into a company that's controlled by the government, that it's perfect by any chance. What we are saying is that the system around which water is designed lends itself in England much more to what we are seeing happen than the system in Scotland. It's much easier for the Scottish government to crack down and kind of put the solutions to what's happening than it is in England. We don't control our water in England. We've seen our water bills go up by around 40% since privatization. And companies like Thames Water are now trying to get the government to allow them to hike it again by between 40 and 60%, right? It's incredible what's happening. So it's I would obviously agree with those campaigners in Scotland. It's not perfect, but the system here is kind of structurally built to lend itself to this kind of crisis much more so than theirs in Scotland.
Charles, your charity looks UK-wide, and one of your key issues is around agricultural waste being pumped into rivers around the UK. What is your sense of the comparison between different parts of the UK, England compared to Scotland, compared to Wales?
Sounds a ridiculous thing to say, but sewage is obviously the celebrity polluter. It's the most emotive subject, you know, human effluent, human feces floating down the river. But actually, the biggest polluter of our rivers is agriculture. And there it's a much more insidious process, because effectively the land gets saturated with animal waste and fertilizers. The soils become like almost sort of contaminated, and then it leaches constantly. Unlike sewage, which, you know, flows out in these sort of discharges, I mean, it is constantly leaching into watercourses and into the water table, and that is destroying some of our most famous rivers, like the River Wye in the Welsh borders. It's as bad everywhere. Scotland, Northern Ireland, Scotland less, because there's much less land in Scotland under agriculture. Obviously, you've got big wild areas, the Scottish Highlands, but in the Scottish Borders, which is where there's a lot of intensive dairy farming. Northern Ireland, the biggest freshwater body in the United Kingdom, which is Loch Ney, that huge lake in the middle of Northern Ireland, that is almost ecologically dead due to the runoff mainly from the intensive dairy farming. So it's all as bad as each other. But a point I would make, and this is, I mean, I agree with so much of what John has said. I mean, the point I make about regulation is what we mustn't forget is that regulation in this country, like many other public services, and the same would apply to national health care, legal aid, and so on, has been defunded. The budget for the Environment Agency in England, which is the principal body to protect nature, protect our rivers, since austerity was introduced 15 years ago, has been cut by 75%. So prosecutions, I mean, there were in 2012, I think there were something like 250 successful prosecutions of polluters. In 2021, there were two. And that is because effectively law enforcement has been defunded. And in fact, we are in the middle of a really critical piece of litigation with the government. We are suing the Environment Agency, and we're suing DEFRA, who fund it, for failing to enforce regulations. I mean, there are a series of very robust, which mainly ones we inherited from our time in the EU, very robust regulations that protect our rivers and our watercourses from pollution, but they're simply not being enforced because their budgets have just been slashed to the bone, so they do not have the resources to do so. So we have to see our regulators properly empowered and enforced so they can pursue, inspect the polluters, discover them, and hold them to account.
Water UK, which represents the water companies, says the results are unacceptable. They say they demonstrate exactly why we need regulatory approval to upgrade the system so that it can cope better with the weather. And they say they have a plan to sort it out, tripling investment, which will cut spills by 40%, more than double the government's target. And they're calling on Ofwat to improve their proposals, which of course would mean bills increasing, but which they say would also leverage greater investment into the water industry as well. What do you make of that?
Well, too little too late. I mean, of course, we've got to see as much investment as possible, but, you know, the time this should have been happening, it should have been in anticipation of these great stresses that are now being placed on the system, not after the event. So there is just now going to be a desperate time of catch-up. And the irony is it's happening now when, if you look at financial markets, when the cost of capital is way, way higher. You know, in that time when interest rates were at an absolute record low over the last sort of 15 years, that would have been the most brilliant time to ramp up investment. Instead, that's when all the money got stripped out and handed over to shareholders. I mean, this is a major political election issue. We did a big piece of research across the entire country, which showed that this is one of the top five issues when people go to the polls at whatever date it is in the next few months. Thank God it's starting to be accelerated, but it's going to be a desperate game of catch-up, which they'll really struggle to get on top of.
Yeah, I do find it quite difficult to believe these private water companies, to be honest. I just wonder if those that are listening to this podcast right now can think of, off the top of their head, how many reservoirs private water companies have built in the 30 years of privatization. And it's quite important to kind of think about the investment needed in our water system as not just investment to fix the sewage spills. That's important. But it's also, of course, we're leaking around 2.5 billion liters of water every single day. And the Environment Agency has already warned about drought problems over the next few years in England and in parts of Wales. And the question is, how many reservoirs do you think the private water companies have built? Charles made a finger, but obviously this is an audio podcast, so you may not have seen it. The answer is zero. They have built zero. All right. And I have a difficulty believing that they will suddenly become serious about investing in the system. And it's quite clear in the language that they use in talking about these issues that they're preparing to pass the buck once again to the regulator and to the government if they don't allow them to hike our bills by a further 40%, right? And they're kind of almost premising their investing into the system on the government allowing them to hike our bills. And I think it's time for us, the public, to make it clear to them that we no longer want this to continue. 7 out of 10 people say they want water in public ownership. It's time the government just moved. And the government can do it now and take them into special administration because of poor performance. That's the power that the government has at the moment. And that's something they could do.
John, great to hear from you. Thank you. John Boscoten-Wogbo from the anti-privatisation campaign We Own It. Thanks also to Charles Watson from River Action. I'm Adrian Goldberg. This has been the Byline Times podcast. If you want to support our work, then please consider taking out a subscription to the Byline Times. That's our brilliant monthly newspaper, which contains the best of our online content and also articles that you can't read anywhere else. It is available now on selected newsstands, so do seek it out. But if you want to support it in the long term and us in the long term on this podcast, please take out a subscription. As I say, head over to bylinetimes.com for more information. We'll see you again very soon, but thanks for listening. Take care now. Cheers. Bye-bye.